Hey, this is Brian Zond, and I'm glad that you're interested in the podcast. You know, it's a free podcast, and it'll always be that way. But if you would like to give and help us out, that would be awesome, deeply appreciated. If you want to do that, you can do that through the Word of Life website or through the Word of Life mobile app. Anyway, God bless you. I hope you enjoy the podcast.
Well, good morning, everybody. How many of you felt that earthquake yesterday? Was that freaky? I woke up and I was just kind of like rocking. And I said, Brian, the house is moving. And he said, yeah, it's an earthquake. And so we laid there for just a minute, and all of a sudden I jumped up and said, we've got to get dressed. And I ran to the closet and grabbed some clothes and held them and got back in bed, and it was over. So I guess I thought if the house was going to collapse, I'd be able to get dressed real quick. But anyhow. So Brian will be up here in just a couple minutes to do the final installment of Finding God on Your iPod. But I just am here to share just a little bit about our coming sabbatical. He told you, and we've been telling you for some time, that a week from today after our Sunday service, we will leave for our sabbatical. We won't leave literally from the church to the airport, Brian. I'm going to go home and change clothes. He said he's just going to wear his hiking clothes, the one he's going to wear for 7 weeks. And I said, I am not going to wear those clothes 1 second longer than I have to. So I am not wearing them to church Sunday. So we're going to go home and change. But we're going to leave for a sabbatical, which is a time away, and it's not a vacation. It is a pilgrimage, a Christian pilgrimage. We're going to be gone for 7 weeks, which is fitting. 7 weeks, Sabbath, seven sevens, sabbatical. And when we get home, our first Sunday back in church, we will celebrate 35 years of having pastored this church. And I want to tell you, 35 years is a long time. Can I get a witness? So, I mean, and then it's 7 5-year periods. Or 5 7-year periods, whichever way you want to go. But we're going away to walk the Camino de Santiago de Compostela, or in English, the Way of St. James of the Field of Stars. And it's an ancient Christian pilgrim route that's existed since the Middle Ages. Thousands and thousands, hundreds of thousands of Christians have walked these steps on this path, and we're going to follow in their footsteps, starting in France in the Pyrenees Mountains and walking all the way across the top of Spain. So it's pretty arduous. It's a 500-mile walk, and it's going to take us a little bit of time. We don't know exactly how long, but we are trusting that we will have enough time to finish it. We are really believing to do the entire thing. That's our goal. That's what we want. And we both sense very strongly that this is a God thing, that we are being led to do this. Waking up every morning with nothing to do but walk will be a very, very different thing for us. Think about that. Just wake up in the morning, day after day after day. And your task today is, you have one thing on your to-do list, and it is to walk. And so we're going to walk lots and lots and lots, hours every day. It's not a vacation, because who would ever choose to walk 500 miles on their vacation? We might, but no, it's not a vacation. It is a Christian pilgrimage. We'll be carrying everything that we need for those 7 weeks on our backs. Think about that. Think about reducing your needs, reducing your consumption to what you can carry on your back for 7 weeks. That in itself is, it's a spiritual experience to really get down and say, do I really need this in my life? Do I really need this? And to get rid of all the extra baggage. And I know that there's going to be extra baggage. Even though we're trying to go really light, there will be things we'll have to get rid of along the way. And I believe that that will be spiritual, not just physical things that we'll get rid of. So it'll be a time of lots of solitude and time for reflection. And hopefully we'll be able to hear God's voice speaking to us. It's going to be demanding, and I'm a little scared and nervous, but I'm also very excited because of that strong sense of God's calling. So several months ago, a church member shared with me that she had just finished reading Brian's book, Water to Wine. Everybody in here has read it now, right? But she had said she had just finished reading it. As she read it and she knew about this coming pilgrimage, she sensed that the experiences and the changes that he talked about that came in that very first chapter, 22 days, she said, I feel like this time away is going to be just as significant for you. And I just, my heart kind of leaped within me at that moment, because I sense that that was true too, that God wants to accomplish things in our lives and in our hearts. And in this church, during that period of time, I think it's going to be very, very good for us. I didn't say fun. I didn't say enjoyable. We probably will suffer a little bit, but I think it's going to be very, very good for us. And I think it's going to be very, very good for this church. And I want you to pray that it would be so. And I want you to pray for us. I'm praying some very specific things for this congregation while we're away, even in the lead up to going. I'm praying that the confession of worship that we speak together every single Sunday as we open our service would become truer and truer and truer in our lives, particularly the part that says, we are not here to be entertained. We are here to encounter the sacred. We are not consumers. We are worshipers. I want that to become just embedded in the hearts of every member of Word of Life Church. So I hope you are as excited for us as we are. I hope that you have a sense of sending us, not that we're just running away, but that you are sending us, that you are blessing us, that you are gifting us with this time away. And I hope that you'll pray for us. Can I get some people who promise to pray for us? Because there will be times that I'll really be depending on those prayers, and I will just imagine people praying for me, and I know that that will help me. And so pray for us while we're gone, and pray for this church to be blessed and to prosper while we're gone. So like Brian said, next Friday we're having a church potluck, and it's kind of a sending service, and so we'd be very blessed if you could come and take a part in that. And, you know, it would also be great to get some little notes of encouragement that I could take with me. I told you that I need to get rid of a lot of things, but I need all the encouragement I can get. So I will keep those kind of things. So in closing, I want to share with you something that I read recently. And when I read it, I thought, you know, this is going to be what I'm going to carry with me throughout the Camino. Have you heard of St. John of the Cross? If you haven't heard of him, you've probably heard of his most famous writing called The Dark Night of the Soul, because it's become a part of our English lexicon, and people use that phrase, The Dark Night of the Soul. But John of the Cross was a Christian mystic, writer, poet, prophet, and he's considered the foremost classical Spanish poet of Spain even today. And so he wrote that Dark Night of the Soul, and he lived in 16th century Spain, near the Camino de Santiago, and I can just only imagine that he surely must have walked it during his lifetime. And so I found a translation of something he wrote, which I think is very fitting, and I want to close with this little quotation. I'll be reading it every day while we're walking. St. John of the Cross says, "To come to the pleasure you have not, you must go by a way in which you enjoy not. To come to the knowledge you have not, you must go by a way in which you know not. To come to the possession you have not, you must go by a way in which you possess not. To come to be what you are not, you must go by a way in which you are not." Let's pray. Lord, I pray for Word of Life Church, for this congregation. Lord, I thank you for your great goodness and your great grace. I pray, Lord, that you would transform us to be more and more like you. Father, even today, that we would be changed a little bit. Give us ears to hear and hearts to obey. We ask for your blessing as we prepare to listen to the message today. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Perry. Good job. I've got one now. Well, all right, Finding God on Your iPod 2016, we've come to the closer, and we got to end strong. By the way, you got a dollar, right? Did you get a dollar? Get your dollar out. You got a dollar. You came to church and got a dollar. How about that? How much a dollar cost? How much a dollar cost?
That's the song. That's the sermon, how much a dollar cost. Now I'm wondering how many people here, when I say the song and the sermon is how much a dollar cost, know who the artist is. If you know who the artist is, just shout it out. Tell me who it is. Kendrick Lamar. Mm-hmm. Finding God on your iPod is finally going full on hip-hop. Yep, this is a hip-hop artist. Kendrick Lamar. I think we had a picture of him. He's from Compton. Of course he is. He's 29 years old, probably the best rapper in the world. His albums, Good Kid, Mad City, and To Pimp a Butterfly, both top the Billboard charts. His most recent album, well, he had one where he kind of released some outtakes, but To Pimp a Butterfly from last year, from 2015, won 5 Grammy Awards. I think it should have won Album of the Year. It didn't. It was nominated. Taylor Swift's 1985 won the Album of the Year, but if I were voting, I would have voted for To Pimp a Butterfly by Kendrick Lamar. He's a Christian. But I don't want to mislead you. I want to be very careful here. If you hear this song and this sermon, you think, well, I think I might want to investigate Kendrick Lamar. This is not Sunday school material. I'll just put it that way. If you do download his stuff, you know, maybe you download the clean version. So I kind of had to get around some of that. There's a lot of profanity. I mean, a whole lot. And so I had to kind of navigate that, but I also realized that he wasn't talking to me. When I listen to Kendrick Lamar, I feel like I'm sort of eavesdropping on a conversation that's happening in black urban America. It's okay for me to listen, but I just need to understand that if he's not speaking exactly my language, well, that's fine. That's okay. Because I think he does have a lot of important things to say. He does even, I think, bring a kind of prophetic social commentary to what he does. I became aware of him, I don't know, I just kind of, well, somehow I was just aware that he was maybe an important voice. And then I saw him on Fallon and was impressed. And hip-hop isn't my world. I'm a rock and roll guy. I know rock and roll really well. Hip-hop is like this foreign language that I don't, it's like German or something to me. I don't know it. But I saw him on Fallon, and I said, okay, now there's a real artist. I get that. And then he was on Austin City Limits, which is like, you know, if you get on Austin City Limits, you're already vetted that you're a legit artist. And I watched that, and I appreciated the genius, the talent, the artistry of it. And then I listened to the album To Pimp a Butterfly, and I thought, I want to use something from this for Finding God on your iPod, but there's just nothing suitable. I mean, for crying out loud, it's Sunday morning church, you know, and there's nothing I can do. Well, then I was in Brooklyn, and I was preaching in Brooklyn, and I'd done a prayer school and weekend services, Sunday morning, Sunday night, and then it was all over, and we were out to dinner with the staff. And I was seated across the table from Fillmore. Fillmore is a young African-American from Detroit, now on staff with Brooklyn C3, I believe is their youth pastor. And we were talking music, because he knows, he listens to the podcast, he knows about Finding God on your iPod. We're talking music. And he asked me, you know, about hip-hop. I said, man, I don't know much about hip-hop at all. I mean, hardly anything. He asked me if it was true that Eminem was really from St. Joe. I said, that's really true. And I told him some stories about that. And then I mentioned, but I do really appreciate Kendrick Lamar. And Mama, he got excited, and he said, you should use the Kendrick Lamar, something off To Pimp a Butterfly, for Finding God on your iPod. I said, man, I thought about that. I want to, but there's nothing I can use Sunday morning church off of that. And he said, how much dollar cost? And I thought, I kind of tried to remember that song, and then got on my phone and looked at it. I said, you know, It's going to take a couple of edits, but I think we can do it. And so that's what we're doing today. So before I play the song, before you hear the song, I want you to kind of meet Kendrick Lamar in an interview where he is talking about how he came to write the song, How Much a Dollar Cost. So here's Kendrick Lamar.
How Much a Dollar Cost.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
This is one of those tracks where, and I appreciate you for this as a hip-hop fan, there's a couple tracks on there like this, but when you listen to it, and you're like, wait, did that just happen? And then you rewind it.
Yeah, yeah. It's a true story.
So.
Yeah, I mean, where was that? Johannesburg.
Okay.
Johannesburg. And I always flirted with the idea, just my imagination, you know, rolling past people that were that we consider bums or homeless, and saying to myself, what if that was the moment, you know, this is not a human form, but this is a mortal form of an angel. Mm. Testing your integrity to actually stop, not just give him money, but talk to him. You know what I'm saying?
Right, right.
And this was one particular situation where I came across this as evidence again, being out there. I'm looking at this guy on the side, you know. We stop, we getting gas or whatever, and I'm just ignoring him because from where I come from, he's just panhandlers.
Yeah,
you
don't engage.
Yeah, I don't engage. I know what you're going to do with the money. You're going to smoke it off. You're going to get some crack or whatever. Even if how much you tell me that you want to do this, when I know what you're going to do, so I'm not going to engage in it. But the moment I actually engaged in, with him, he said, God bless you. You know, this is your calling. And it blew my mind. Like, really tripped me out. Making me think, these are moments in my life deeper than just handing somebody a dollar. These are actually moments of integrity, being able to actually talk to somebody. Me talking to him was simply a thank you from God, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
And I felt God speaking through him to get at me, you know? And it was really a real trip. And I tend to always bottle these ideas in because I want to share them with the world, and that's how you get a record like How Much a Dollar Cost. Okay.
All right, so Kendrick Lamar, big time rapper, he's in Johannesburg, South Africa, driving a luxury car, stops at a gas station. There's a homeless man, asks him for 10 rand. That's approximately a dollar in U.S. currency. Ask him for a 10 rand bill, or we would say a dollar. And Kendrick ignores the man, but he can't ignore him, because what if he's an angel? What if he's more than an angel? What if he's Jesus? What if he has a message for a young rapper millionaire? Kendrick Lamar has escaped the poverty of Compton and become a superstar, but are there still lessons that he needs to learn? How much a dollar cost? How much a dollar cost to keep it? How much a dollar cost to give it? Well, I'm going to play the song for you, but I'm going to tell you, only someone who knows Jesus and knows what Jesus taught about money, the poor, and the disenfranchised could write a song like How Much a Dollar Cost. By the way, President Obama said December last year that this was his number one song for 2015. I thought that was significant too. So we're going to play the song. We didn't prepare a video per se because this is rap and there's like a ton of lyrics. So we're just going to put up the lyrics for you so you can follow along, because if there was anything else, you would be distracted. So this is How Much a Dollar Cost, Kendrick Lamar.
How much a dollar really costs. The question is detrimental, paralyzed in my thoughts. Parasites in my stomach keep me with a gut feeling, y'all. Gotta see how I'm chilling once I park this luxury car. Hopping out, feeling big as Mutombo. 20 on pump 6, 30 Marcellus called me Dumbo. 20 years ago, came for kicks. Now I can lend him my ear or two. How to stack these residuals tenfold. The liberal concept that men do. 2006, he didn't hear me. Indigenous African only spoke Zulu. My American tongue was leery. Walked out the gas station, a homeless man with a sandy tan complexion asked me for 10 grand. Stressing about dry land, deep water, powder blue skies that crack open. A piece of crack that he wanted. I knew he was smoking. He begged and pleaded. Asked me to feed him twice. I didn't believe it. Told him beat it. Contributed money just for his pipe. I couldn't see it. He said, my son, temptation is one thing that I've defeated. Listen to me, I want a single bill from you. Nothing less, nothing more. I told him I didn't have it, then closed my door. Tell me how much a dollar cost.
It's more to feed your mind. Water, sun, and love. The one you love. All you need, the embrace.
He's staring at me in disbelief. Staring at me, I grabbed my key. Staring at me, I started the car, then I tried to leave. But something told me to keep it in park until I could see the reason why he was mad at a stranger. Like I was supposed to save him. Like I'm the reason he homeless and asking me for a favor. He's staring at me, his eyes follow me with no laser. He's staring at me, I noticed that his stare is contagious. Cause now I'm staring back at him, feeling some type of disrespect. If I could throw a bat at him, he'd be aiming at his neck. I never understood someone begging for goods, asking for handouts, taking it if they could. At this particular person just had it down back, staring at me for the longest until he finally asked, have you ever opened up Exodus 14? A humble man is all that we ever need. Tell me how much a dollar cost.
It's more to feed your mind. What a sign.
Tripping and feeling resentment. I never met a transient that demanded attention. They got me frustrated, indecisive, and power tripping. Sour emotions got me looking at the universe different. I should distance myself, I should keep it relentless. My selfishness is what got me here. Who the fuck I'm kidding? So I'ma tell you like I told the last bum. Crumbs and pennies, I need all of mine. And I recognize this type of panhandling all the time. I got better judgment, I know it's hustling. Keep in mind, when I was struggling, I did compromise. Now I comprehend, I smell grandpa's old medicine reeking from your skin, moonshine and gin. Cause you're babbling, your words ain't flattering. I'm imagining Denzel, be looking at O'Neal. Cause I'm in sad thrills, your gimmick is mediocre. The jig is up, I seen you from a mile away, losing focus. And I'm insensitive, and I lack empathy. Looked at me and said, your potential is bittersweet. I looked at him and said, every nickel is mine to keep. He looked at me and said, know the truth, it'll set you free. You're looking at the Messiah, the son of Jehovah, the higher power, the choir that spoke the word, the Holy Spirit, the nerve of Nazareth. And I tell you just how much a dollar cost. The price of happiness bought in heaven, embrace your loss, I am God.
I wash my hands, I said my grace, what more do you want from me? Tears of a cloud. Guess I'm not all what it's meant to be. Shades of gray will never change if I condone. Turn this page, help me change to right my wrong.
How much a dollar really costs? The question is detrimental, paralyzing my thoughts. Okay, that's how the song opens. How much a dollar really cost? The question is detrimental, paralyzing my thoughts. And then it goes on and tells this story about encountering a beggar who's asking for a dollar. And Kendrick has all of his reasons why he shouldn't and won't. But then it ends like this. I'll tell you how much a dollar cost. The price of having a spot in heaven, embrace your loss. I am God. Now, I realize that we have concocted theological systems to argue with the theology of this song. But if we're going to take Jesus seriously, we better listen to the theology of this song. Because the two times Jesus talks in depth in the form of parables about heaven and hell, there are only two times when Jesus talks in depth about what we would call heaven and hell, and he does it in the form of parables. The two times he does, what he says is very much like the theology of Kendrick Lamar's How Much a Dollar Cost. I'm talking about the parable of the sheep and the goats and the parable of the rich man and Lazarus. And whereas I don't think these parables are intended primarily to shed much light on the nature of the afterlife, I do think these parables reveal what participating in the kingdom of Christ looks like here and now. Because we're either following Jesus and moving in the direction of the kingdom of God and the life of the kingdom of God, the eternal life of the kingdom of God, or we're following Satan, headed for yet another Gehenna and the death and bring that it always brings here and now. So, in these two heaven and hell parables from Jesus, sheep and the goats, rich man and Lazarus, the goats and the rich man don't end up in hell because they had wrong beliefs. There's nothing in those parables to indicate that they, for all we know, the rich man had impeccable theology and believed all the right things. No, the goats and the rich man consign themselves to hell because of how they treat others. Orthodoxy, that is right belief, is important because of how it forms us. But if orthodoxy, that is right belief, doesn't lead to orthopraxy, that is right practice, it's worthless. Okay, enough of my own words. Let's let Jesus speak for himself on this subject. But when the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the angels with him, then he will sit upon his glorious throne. All the nations will be gathered in his presence, and he will separate the people as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will place the sheep on his right hand and the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right, "Come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you fed me. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me into your home. I was naked, and you gave me clothing. I was sick, and you cared for me. I was in prison, and you visited me." Then these righteous ones will reply, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink, or a stranger and show you hospitality, or naked and give you clothing? When did we ever see you sick or in prison and visit you?" And the king will say, "I tell you the truth. When you did it to one of the least of these, my brothers and sisters, you were doing it to me." Then the king will turn to those on the left and say, "Away with you, you cursed ones, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his demons. For I was hungry and you didn't feed me. I was thirsty and you didn't give me drink. I was a stranger and you didn't invite me into your home. I was naked and you didn't give me clothing. I was sick and in prison and you didn't visit me." Then they will reply, "Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and not help you?" And he will answer, "I tell you the truth. When you refused to help the least of these, my brothers and sisters, you were refusing to help me." And they will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous will go into eternal life. So Kendrick Lamar met God disguised as a homeless man in Johannesburg, South Africa. And if you say, "Well, no, that wasn't God," Jesus will say, "Yes, it was. It was me. Inasmuch as you've done it to the least of these homeless beggars at a gas station in Johannesburg, South Africa, you've done it unto me." Recognizing Christ in a homeless man. You know, we all carry the image of God, the Imago Dei. Recognizing Christ in a homeless man was a part of Kendrick Lamar's ongoing salvation. Now, during the course of the album, because the album that this song comes from is a concept album that tells one big overarching story. And at this point in the album, Kendrick Lamar has overcome what he calls the evils of Lucy. Lucy is his name for Lucifer. And Lucy comes to him and tempts him and promises him. And he's been struggling. He's been being overcome by Lucy. These are temptations to addiction and promiscuity and even temptation to suicide in a hotel room. But at this point, Kendrick Lamar has overcome the temptations of Lucy. But now Kendrick has to face a more powerful enemy. And that's how he sets up this song. Now I have a new battle to fight. And what he's talking about is he's going to have to contend with selfishness, self-centeredness, self-indulgence. So the song begins, "How much a dollar really cost? The question is detrimental, paralyzing my thoughts. Parasites in my stomach keep me with a gut feeling. Y'all got to see how I'm chilling once I park this luxury car." So Kendrick Lamar has it made. He's rich. He's famous. He's living clean now. So he's got it, you know, all together. He's a success. He's clean. He's famous. He's rich. But he has a feeling in his gut that something's not right. And that's when he has his encounter with Christ and a homeless man who shows him what's not right. And the song that he writes about that encounter is filled with biblical references. At one point, the homeless man says, "Have you ever opened up to Exodus 14? A humble man is all that we ever need." Exodus 14 is where Moses leads the children of Israel out of their bondage in Egypt. And it's clear in the album that, in one sense, Kendrick Lamar, because he's very open about, when he's recording this album, he knows that he's very famous and has lots of influence. And he sees himself, or at least he would aspire to be, a kind of Moses and lead young black Americans into something better. But Moses, remember Moses? Moses had a handicap. Remember Moses' handicap? What was Moses not good at? Speaking. He stuttered. He couldn't speak well. That's the very opposite of Kendrick Lamar. He's a world-class rapper. Speaking is not his problem. Well, what's the point here of this Exodus 14 and Moses and a humble man? See, Moses was humble. The point is, Moses couldn't speak well. That's the very opposite of Kendrick Lamar. But God doesn't need Kendrick's talent. God needs Kendrick's humility. We think that God's always after our talents and our abilities, and God is probably not near as impressed as you think with your talent and ability. God is after your humility. That's what God needs, is your humility. So the song goes on. "My selfishness is what got me here. Who am I kidding? So I'm going to tell you like I told the last bum. Crumbs and pennies, I need all of mine's. And I recognize this type of panhandling all the time." Crumbs and pennies. Now he uses the word crumbs. Crumbs and pennies, I need all of mine's. Didn't just say pennies. Didn't say dollars and pennies. He says crumbs and pennies. That should, if you know your Bible, that's just, wait a minute, where have I? Those words could have been taken right out of the mouth of the rich man. In that parable of the rich man and Lazarus, man, the rich man, he fared sumptuously, feasted daily, clothed in purple, living in his mansion. But at his gates lay Lazarus covered with sores and begging for alms and longing to eat from the crumbs of the rich man's table. But the rich man never does anything, never engages, never acknowledges, never helps Lazarus, and then ends up in a place of torment. But I can hear the rich man. Can't you hear the rich man? I mean, if the rich man does see him, and he had to, he was at his gate every day, he's got to process this. Why doesn't he help him? Crumbs and pennies, I need all of mine's. I recognize this type of panhandling all the time. See, he said, I've worked hard and I've made myself and crumbs and pennies. I need all of mine's and this type of panhandling. I recognize all this. This is just some panic. He's probably on crack. They didn't have crack back. He's probably a wino. They had wine then. He's probably just going to spend it on wine. I can very easily get inside the head of the rich man and think like him. And why I'm not going to engage and why I'm not going to help. He looked at me and said, "Your potential is bittersweet." I looked at him and said, "Every nickel is mine's to keep." He looked at me and said, "Know the truth and it'll set you free." Whew. Well, success is a great thing, unless it leads you into the abyss of selfishness. All things being equal, success is great, unless it leads you into the abyss of selfishness. Jesus knows the truth, and I hate to bring it up, and just know I'm preaching to myself as much as you, but the greatest single obstacle to entering the kingdom of God is economic self-interest. Now, I know that just by reading my Bible enough. Jesus repeatedly returns to this theme over and over and over. This is the biggie. This is the greatest obstacle to fully participating in the government of God, the reign of God, the rule of God, the way God wants to arrange human society, is our own propensity towards economic self-interest. To hold on to everything monetary as mine. And I don't want to relinquish it. Well, the last verse of our gospel reading for this morning, and this is part of why following the lectionary is good, because it forces you to read parts of the Bible you might prefer to ignore. I mean, our gospel reading, you understand, is we don't select it. It's given to us. There's a 3-year cycle through the gospels. And today, the final verse is Jesus saying, So therefore, none of you can become my disciple if you do not give up all your possessions. Oh, and by the way, he started off with, and you got to hate your parents too. This is tough stuff. This is, you hear Jesus talk like that, and you think, how did you ever get any disciples? Now, I don't know exactly how this is to be lived out when Jesus says, so therefore, none of you can become my disciple if you do not give up all your possessions. I don't know exactly how that's lived out in the 21st century for you or for me, but I know I can't just ignore it. I know that economic self-interest truly is the greatest obstacle to fully participating in the kingdom of Christ. So the more you have, the harder it is to hear these things from Jesus. And that's why Jesus says it's easier. What's it easier for? It's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle. That's a memorable metaphor that Jesus, or whatever that is, picture that Jesus gives us. I thread a needle for Perry on the plane the other day because she couldn't do it. She says, I think I'm getting so old, my eyes, I can't. I said, I'll try. And then it was really hard, and I would have given up, except I was trying to outdo her. And I did. But it was hard. Now I think, how am I going to get that camel through there? Okay, I got the little black thread through there. Okay, bring the camel now. I don't know. And Jesus said that. Jesus said, it's easier for a camel to squeeze through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to participate in the kingdom of Christ. And the disciple says, whoa, then who can be saved? And Jesus said, mercifully, he said, well, with men these things are impossible, but with God, all things are possible. I washed my hands, I said my grace, what more do you want from me? Tears of a clown, guess I'm not all what is meant to be. Shades of gray will never change if I condone. Turn this page, help me change so right my wrongs. Kendrick Lamar realizes that he's in danger of becoming like Pontius Pilate. Wash my hands. He's in danger of becoming like Pontius Pilate, trying to wash the guilt off his hands in the presence of Christ. I mean, when Christ is present, when he's proclaimed, when he's present, when we see him in the Gospels, when the light of Christ comes upon us, it always brings judgment. I mean, we live in our shades of gray world of compromise. And then we have moments where we're standing in the pure white light of Christ. And we see our imperfections, we see our shortcomings, we see our selfishness and our self-centeredness, and what do? Well, that's the moment of judgment. This is the moment where either what we do, sometimes what we do is we run for cover, like a cockroach running back into the dark. Or we can stand in the blazing white light of Christ and say, I repent, have mercy. That's the choice. Either run into the darkness of self-justification or pretend you didn't see that, run to the darkness, or you stand in the searing white light of Christ and you say, have mercy, help me change. And that's all Jesus asks of us, to be honest about ourselves, to repent, and to ask for his mercy. And by the way, it's an ongoing process that we're never through with. I mean, you can pray a sinner's prayer, you know, as a, you know, you start with Jesus like that. Jesus, I confess I'm a sinner. I believe you died for me. Come into my life and save me. But don't think, you know, that now you're all done with it and you never need to pray that prayer again. It's more like, you know, the Jesus prayer, Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me. You need to pray that about 50 times a day. It just becomes this ongoing journey that we never complete. We continue because Christ, you know, I mean, we come into his light and we see our own sin in the light of his judgment. And what do? We can cling to our sin. We can run for the darkness, or we can say, Lord, have mercy, help me to change. We can pray, turn this page, help me change so right my wrongs. And that's all he asks. And then you will change. And his grace comes, and you begin to make spiritual progress. You begin to become more Christ-like, and you think you've arrived. And some time goes by, and then something happens where Christ is again present with searing white light, and you see things you didn't know you had. That's how it goes. That's how it goes. So how much a dollar cost? Well, if you hold your dollars too tight, it can cost you a place in the kingdom of heaven as it comes to earth right now. In the kingdom of Christ, no one hangs on to their dollars too tight. In the kingdom of Christ, no one hangs on to their dollars too tight. I won't preach this until I get an amen. In the kingdom of Christ, no one hangs on to their dollars too tight. We are those formed by the generosity of Christ. We know that it's more blessed to give than to receive. It's more blessed to give than to get. It's more blessed to give than to consume. It's more blessed to give than to keep. So a dollar is just a dollar until you hold on to it too tight. Then it becomes the price of your soul excluded from the kingdom of Christ. A dollar is just a dollar until you hold on to it too tight. But if you hold on to it too tight, you find yourself outside the kingdom of Christ and you say, well, I'm outside the kingdom of Christ. What did I get for it? I got a dollar or a million, but it doesn't matter because how does Jesus say it? What does it profit a man if he gains the whole world but loses his soul? So you got a dollar today. What are you going to do with it? Keep it? If you need it, please keep it. If you need it, please keep it. But if you don't really need it, you can't afford to keep it. You know, if you don't really need it, you can't afford to keep it. How much a dollar cost? So you're going to have to find something to do with it. Because right now, it's too costly to keep it. It costs too much to keep it. If you really need it, keep it, please. But But if you don't really need it, you can't keep it because it costs you too much. If nothing else, you find those boxes back there that say Project 58, and you put it in there with about 5 or 10 more of them. Hello. Project 58 from Isaiah 58. God says, this is the fast I'm interested in. That you divide your bread with the poor, that you clothe the naked, that you take care of the sick, that you do these things that Jesus talks about in Matthew 25. And then God says, my light shall burst upon you, and your healing shall come forth speedily. And so we do this thing where we give up the Friday meal, practicing the tradition of the early church to fast on Friday as a form of prophetic resistance to the age of consumerism. And we say, I can at least give up one meal. And then we take the money we save from the meal and we put it in the box, and out of the box comes miracles. Miracles come out. You say, miracle. Miracles come out of that box. This week. Okay, it's in your bulletin. Project 58. Your Project 58 donations allowed us to purchase and provide 520 meals at the Open Door Food Kitchen during the month of August. Amen. Yeah. Now, who is eating at the Open Door Food Kitchen? Who's eating those 520 meals? Who's eating those meals? Jesus! Jesus is eating those meals. You say, well, no, those are just like, you know, really poor people. Really desperate. No, it's Jesus. It's Jesus. And so, 520 meals in the month of August provided at the Open Door Food Kitchen because miracles came out of a Project 58 box. If you really need the dollar, please, please, please keep it. If you don't really need it, my pastoral counsel is you can't afford to keep it. So find something to do with it. If nothing else, put it in the Project 58 box with some more friends. How much a dollar cost? This was brought to me and came alive in my soul from a hip-hop artist out of Compton. That's the whole point of finding God on your iPod. Let him who has ears to hear, hear. Because God moves and he speaks through surprising. Sometimes we need to hear it from somewhere else and from someone very different. Sometimes, you know, they use a vocabulary that we're not used to in church. Although my guess would be you're probably more used to it than you care to admit. But we need to recognize when the Spirit of God is trying to say something to us. And that people are hearing that song, How Much a Dollar Cost, thinking they're just listening to a hip-hop album, but actually there's something much deeper and profound going on. To me, that's a very good thing. And so now, we come to a table where the priceless body of Christ and the priceless blood of Christ are offered to us without price, free of charge. The body of Christ and the blood of Christ offered to you free of charge, that we might participate in his eternal life. So if you're like me today and you think, man, I know economic self-interest, it is this obstacle. So you come and someone will say, the body of Christ broken for you. And you say, oh, amen. You take the bread and someone offers the cup and says, the blood of Christ shed for you. You say, oh, amen. You dip the bread in the cup and you ingest the mercy of Christ, that you might continue on this pilgrimage of becoming more and more Christ-like. Amen? Stand with me. Let's confess our sins together before God and ask him for his mercy as we come to the table. Most merciful God.